Today, I would like to speak to you about something which the Ramban writes about at great length in this week's Parsha. It's a foundational principle in the Ramban and in his writings in many, many different places, but I believe that his most elaborate discussion of the topic is in this week's Parsha, in Parsha Sacharemos specifically. And what he's going to talk about has it's, so to speak, worthy of study for itself in its description of the way the world works and the way the world works with regard to the Jewish people and with regard to Eretz Yisrael. But I think that we'll try also to look beyond the technicalities of what he's describing to the implications of what he's describing for our emunah and for our connection, the way we see it, the way we have it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ultimately, what I would like to just arrive at in the shiur today, in our learning today, is a stronger understanding of a pretty important verse, a pretty important pasuk that we say every day in our declaration of Emunah, which is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The pasuk, the verse, which is the Jewish signature of Emunah, of faith, Shema Yisrael, I would like us to get a better understanding of it. What does that phrase mean? Shema Yisrael, listen Yisrael, hear Yisrael. Hashem, which is his name, is Elokeinu. And Hashem is Echad, Hashem is one. What does this mean exactly? Rashi says in Chumash, he seems to be saying in Chumash, that Shema Yisrael, listen Yisrael, Hashem who is right now Elokeinu, Hashem who is right now exclusively the God of the Jewish people, because only the Jewish people know Him and worship Him, Hashem Echad, in the end He'll be the one God that everybody will know and that everybody will worship. And Rashi references the prophecies, the nevuos, which say, "Ki oz efech elamim safa berura." Then, in that day, I will turn to the nations that they will speak with a clear language to all call out, "B'shem Hashem," to all call out in the name of Hashem. Part of geula, a big part of geula, is the revelation of Hashem to the world as the Master of the world. So Hashem, right now, is worshipped exclusively by the Jewish people. Be'ezras Hashem, he will be one day worshipped as the one and only by everybody. Which is, straightforward enough, and it would be, in a sense, a declaration of confidence that one day everybody's going to get it. One day everybody's going to get it, and we make these declarations all the time. If you'll notice, whenever we finish davening, we say, Aleinu l'shaveach v'alkeinu kavalecha. Those two paragraphs are the end of every formal tefillah that we have. Aleinu l'shaveach says, we are grateful to Hashem that we uniquely serve Him, or we have the privilege that we're not confused or lost after other objects of worship, but we are kairim u'mishtachvim u'maydim lifnei melech malchayam lochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're able to bow and to serve and to acknowledge the King of all kings, Hashem. And then in the second paragraph, Yalkei Nekava, we say, and we yearn for the day when everybody will know, when everybody will get it, when no longer idols will be worshipped in the land, when no longer people will offer their devotion in other directions, on the day that Hashem will be one and His name will be one. That's part and parcel of our belief. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. However, I would like to ask you a question about it. I would like to ask you to think about one aspect of it, and then perhaps we will learn a little bit and we'll come to a stronger understanding of it, perhaps an amplification of what Rashi is saying, so that we can get further. And the question, or the point, which I'd like to point out to you is that when one makes the declaration of Emunah, when one makes a declaration of faith, so how is that made? With what emotion is that made? Is that supposed to be made with emotion at all? Right? We believe Hashem is the master of the universe. And we believe that one day, everybody will know that Hashem is the master of the universe. So, what do you feel when you make that statement? Now, we say in our davening, at a couple of different points, exactly what we feel when we make that statement, which is Ava, love. Pamayim be'ahava shema imrim. We say the Jewish people twice a day. When we ask Hashem to be gracious to the Jewish people, Yochon am hamyachadim shemo, erev avayikim b'chayim tamid, pamayim be'ava shema imrim. Twice with love we say Shema. Now, what about the statement which I just told you of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, specifically generates Ava, comes from love, right? And it's not just there. We l'chaydeis l'chol yached chabi ava. There are a few places where we speak about this idea that the declaration of Shema is not just said as an intellectual statement or even some kind of awareness, but it's be ava with love. What in that statement is a statement of ava of love? So this is the goal which I want to have with you at the outset for the shiur today, that to understand a better, clearer understanding of what we're saying when we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem who's our God, Hashem Echad, Hashem will be the God of the world, why that is a statement which should be made. What is it about that statement that makes it a statement which is made be'ava, with love? And we may have touched upon this at other times, but today we will focus on it by learning an important commentary of the Ramban, and I warn you in advance that parts of what the Ramban says are going to sound a little unusual. They're going to sound a little different than the kind of language which we're used to, but we will, Emir Tashem, try to explain it and understand both what he's saying and to understand it in terms which make us a little bit more familiar. The section of the Parsha which the Ramban is discussing is in Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk. The Ramban specifically begins on Pasuk Chaf Hei, chapter 18, verse 25 in Vayikra. And again, I apologize due to technical difficulties not to have a sheet for you. But in Parsha Sacharemos, the Torah outlines the forbidden relationships, those who one is not allowed to marry. That's in the latter part of Parsha Sacharemos. We read it as the Kriyas HaTorah at Mincha on Yom Kippur as well. And after listing all of the different prohibited relationships, the Torah says, Al titamu b'chalele, do not impurify yourself with all of these things, because in all of these things the nations corrupted themselves, the nations that I'm sending away from before you, they did this. Vatitmoha oretz, and the land became impure. V'efkod avona oleha, and I visited its sin, its wrongdoing upon it. Vataki ha'aretz es yoshveha, and the land expelled its inhabitants. And I'm saying it nicely, expelled. Vataki ha'aretz es yoshveha is like spit it out or threw them up. That's literally the term it's used. The land was apparently revolted by its inhabitants and spit them out. And so I tell you, don't make the same mistake. Don't repeat their behaviors. So the Ramban here is coming to explain what is it specifically about this, that because of arayas, because of forbidden relationships, the land should spit them out. I mean, to the nations of the world, to people in general, what kind of a description is this? What does it say about the land? And the Ramban writes, Hichmer akosuv ba'arayas ba'avur ha'oretz sheti tomei bohen v'toki anefashes ha'oisais. He says, the Torah is specifically extra concerned about arayas. It seems that immorality, and we find many indications of this, sort of like seeps into the land, into the environment. I remember at the time of the Mabul, at the time of the flood, where it describes the same thing, that the immorality, Ha'aretz v'hinei nishchasu, was so pervasive that it affected the environment. And Eretz Yisrael was evidently sensitive to it and would spit out the souls who did this. Continues the Ramban, V'hinei ha'arayas chayves ha'gruf, v'hinan tluyes ba'aretz. He says, now, it's interesting, because we know that there are mitzvahs which are specific to the land, specific to a particular place, agricultural mitzvahs. But Arayus is not in that category. They don't have anything per se to do with Eretz Yisrael as opposed to any place else. Aval sod hadavar b'kasuv she'amar v'anchil elyon goyim b'afrido b'nei adam yatzev gvulos amim l'nisbar b'nei Yisrael ki chelak Hashem amo Yaakov chevel nachloso. So he cites, he says, what this is really about is what the verse describes in Parshas Ha'azinu, where it describes Hashem defining the various nations of the world and giving each its portion, giving each its place. But chelek Hashem amo, but Hashem's portion is His people. And the Ramadan continues, Nosan al kol am va'am bar tosom legoyehem kochov umazal yadua. Hashem appointed over each nation in their lands, according to their tribal factions, kechav umazal yadua, a star, a sign, a specific constellation of stars. Kasher noda v'itzdagninus. V'zeu shenemar, and that's what the verse means when it says earlier in the Devarim, Asher cholak Hashem elokecha osam l'chol va'amim. When it speaks about people looking up to the heavens to worship them, to pay a lot of attention to what's going on, how the stars are aligned, Hashem says, don't do that. That's what Hashem did for the nations. That's the portion that Hashem assigned to the nations. Ki chilek lekula mazolos bashamayim. He gave them all these signs in the heaven that would somehow lead their way. And besides the physical structure of the stars that, so to speak, make the world turn, but there are also sarim, there are also somehow angels in heaven that are assigned to these various nations. And he goes on and cites the verses from Daniel where that's explicitly spoken of. And he says, V'nei Hashem anichbad hu elokeu elokim v'adonei adanim l'chol ha'olam. Hashem is the force above every one of these things. He's the force behind all forces, the master of all masters. Avol, however, Eretz Yisrael emtzos ha'yishuv hinachlas Hashem yuchedes lishmai. But Eretz Yisrael, so to speak, the center of the world, that's the portion of Hashem, specific to Him, lo nosan olea min hamalochim kotzin shoter u'moshel. He did not appoint over Eretz Yisrael any lieutenant, any delegate, no angel, no officer, nothing. Banchilo oso la'amo hamiyuchad shemo, hamiyached shemo zera avav. When he gave it as the portion of the nation that declares again the unity of Hashem's name, the descendants of those who loved him. Where it says, V'yisem li segula mikol ha'amin. So what is the Ramban saying? Sounds a little different, it sounds a little strange. Ramban is explaining as follows. Let's first translate it into very basic terms. And that is that the world is a big place. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, created it all and sustains it all. But is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is God Himself, involving Himself in every peace that's there in the world, in every aspect, in every land, in every nation? You know, when you speak about somebody who creates a big thing, one of their great powers, when we speak on human terms, is going to be the power to delegate. Right? If you want to open a chain of stores and you insist on making sure that you determine the price on every item and look over the books of every department and of every store and of every location, you're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to grow it very well. What's the key? The key is you get good people and you figure out how each one will be able to manage what they're supposed to manage, and you provide a more general oversight. But you don't lose yourself in the details. That's the way it works whenever people create things. Now you listen to this and you say, yeah, of course, that's the way it is when people create things, because people have limitations. And if you would think that you would be able to do it all, every place, every time, you wouldn't be able to. And first this store would fall apart, or all the stores would be sort of okay, but the whole accounting system would fall apart because you're focused on inventory, or whatever it is. You just can't cut yourself into enough pieces to be able to cover everything. You're a human being. You have limitations. So that's why you have to delegate. That certainly is the case. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. But let me ask you a question. Is it possible that a person would be able to have the time, would be able to have the resources, the ability to be able to look at all to look at everything, but would choose not to? That's also a possibility. The possibility would be that, you know, the person says, why do I need to do it? Why does it have to be me? It's true that I have the time. It's true that I have the capacity. It's true that I have the ability. But I don't have to. So, you know, if this fellow is successful and he creates his 10 department stores, he might say, you know what, I have good people managing this location and that location. I have good people overlooking the purchasing. I have good people overlooking the accounting. And I can golf. Right? I can learn Torah. I can do Lahavdil. I can do what I want to do. I don't have to necessarily get involved in the details of any specific thing that happens there in the business. So a person will delegate because of limitation, or a person will delegate because of disinterest. It's just not so central to me that I have to have my finger on everything which is going on, everything that happens within the world. Hashem created a world. Hashem has no limitations. Absolutely no limitations. He could be involved in everything simultaneously. Hatsur, Tamim, Paloi, Kichol, Drachav, Mishpat. Without the use of any intermediary, without the use of any system, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do it. It's in a certain sense hard to imagine. You look at the world, you say there is a system. You plant seeds and they grow. You put bricks together and they make a building. Right? You drop something and the force of gravity pulls it down. That's all systems which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world. Of course he could make it that there's no natural cause and effect and run the world event by event, effort by effort. But Hashem created systems. And we look at the world and we see they're sort of Olam Kiminhagai Noyeg. There's a way that the world goes. Now, we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. We believe that the things which happen to us are not just, you know, just this normal cause and effect of the system, but there's Hashkochas Hashem. There's divine involvement in the way our lives go, in the way our lives unfold. But tell me something, is it? Would it have to be that way? Could Hashem have defined a world where he says, you know what? I'll delegate to a natural system. It's just the way it'll work. You know, here, there's going to be a fight between Khwais, India, and Pakistan, right? They're neighbors, they're next door. So, fine, so let there be a fight between India and Pakistan. These will be successful, those will be successful. Let it happen. Wherever the chips may fall, it'll be okay. Is it possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have done such a thing? It certainly is possible. Would it be Hashem did it because he just didn't have time to worry about India and Pakistan? No, that wouldn't be why. But maybe Hashem would say, do I have to concern myself with the details of what's happening with India and Pakistan? What the Ramban is writing about here is this idea, this second type of delegation, not a delegation because of limitations of capacity, but a delegation because of limitations of interest. Yatzev gvulos amim lemispar b'nei Yisrael ki chelek Hashem amo. Writes the Ramban. Now we're going to say to you again, I'm not going to read the words to you again, but I'll repeat to you the words the way you heard them, the way the Ramban read them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and there are all kinds of places, and as the Ramban goes on to write, there are all kinds of nations. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in creating the world, he created systems that are in place that define control, move the fate of these various nations. The Ramban believed, right, it was a debate. The Rambam disagreed with this. Ramban believed that the stars in the sky and so on and so forth do, to some degree, how everything lines up, do play a role in the fate of people. You want to call it that? You can call it that. Whether you hold like the Ramban in this matter or you hold like the Rambam in this matter about the alignment of the stars is not really material fundamentally to the discussion. Right? When the Navi speaks about the ministering angel of Yavon, of Greece, or the ministering angel of Paras, Sar Malchus Yavon, Sar Malchus Paras of Persia, what is it speaking about? It's saying Hashem said, you know what, you take charge, you worry about them, you worry about them, you're in charge of this location, you're in charge of that location. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu leave for himself? HaKadosh Baruch Hu left for himself one land and one people. The land which he left for himself was Eretz Yisrael. The people that he left for himself were the Bnei Yisrael. Ki chelek Hashem amo Yaakov chevel nachlaso. Everything in that sense is invested in the Jewish people. Everything is focused in Eretz Yisrael. There, that's the land which, as the Pasuk itself describes, it's the land Asher Hashem Elokecha Dereish Oisa. It's the land which Hashem himself deals with. Do we have a reference in the Torah to the Sar Malchus Yisrael, to the ministering angel of the Jewish people? No, because there isn't one. It's because Hashem does it himself. I'd like to illustrate it by, if I can take the department store mashal just a step further. The way I like to illustrate it is that when Mr. Strauss, or whatever his name might have been, Mr. Strauss of Macy's, who owns all of these department stores and sits in his office, you know, high atop some tall building in Manhattan, and you know, reviewing the numbers and these things from all of his department heads and location managers and so on and so forth. But he tells his anacle, he tells his granddaughter, he says, you know, when you want to go shopping, right, when you want to go shopping, do me a favor, give me a call, tell me when you're coming, and I'm going to come downstairs and I'm going to take care of you. So even though he has a manager of this department store, and even though he has, you know, clerks and cashiers that will take care of this particular department, but when his granddaughter comes in, he doesn't want to delegate. When his granddaughter comes in, he wants to take care of her himself. And so she calls him, and he comes down, and he walks her through. He helps her. And she probably would prefer if the other guy helped her. Who knew the stuff? But he is going to help her. Not because she won't, right? He can give her, you know, face a company card and tear up the bill. You know, if he just wants to make sure that she gets what she wants, what she wants for free. But his interest is in that. Whereas it may be that he, to some degree, with some things he doesn't have the capacity, but for other things he has the capacity, but he doesn't have the interest. But this is his interest. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has defined the Jewish people as his interest. Chelek Hashem Amo. Hashem's portion is his people. Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, in the Derech Hashem, writes about this. Again, what I'm telling you here, again, as perhaps, maybe it sounds a little different, but it's not, it's mainstream. It's the mainstream of Jewish thought. The Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, in the Derech Hashem, in his description of how the world works in Chelek Beis, in the second section, which deals with Hashem's Hashkach, Hashem's divine providence, in Perek Dalid, he speaks about the Jewish people and the nations of the world. And in towards the end of that section, in paragraph Ches, he writes as follows. When the world was divided up this way, what is he referring to? He speaks of the fact that, you know, Hashem didn't just randomly divide up the world and choose the Jewish people. As time went on, Hashem looked at the way people were doing. You know, Adam had made a fateful decision which, you know, marched him out of Gan Eden, marched him out of that close connection to Hashem. And then children, grandchildren, nations that grew and that formed. And from all of them, Hashem saw that there was one, that there was Avram, who was really, almost in the words of the Ramchal, trying to make his way back to Gan Eden, trying to restore man to where he was before he fell, before everything changed. And so he chose him. And he said, I'm putting everything on him. And writes the Ramchal as follows. When Hashem divided up the world this way, some HaKadosh Baruch Hu ayin pekidim misug hamalochi, sheyuhem hamemunim ala umay sa'ela. Hashem appointed 70 officers or ministers of the angelic variety, that they will be in charge of all these nations. Umashkifim aleim umashkichim alinyoneim. That they would be watching what was happening to them and concerning themselves with all of their matters. Vuhu yisprashmo lo yashkiach aleim ela bashkacha klolis. Hashem will just oversee things generally when it comes to them. Vasar hu yashkiach aleim bashkacha pratis. B'chayach shemasa le'adon baruch hu alzeh. But that it would be that ministering angel who will concern himself with the details. Hashem just wants to make sure that, generally speaking, things are okay. And regarding this, the pasuk says, this is a pasuk in Amos, Rak eschem yodati mikol mishpachos ha'adama. Hashem says, it is only you that I have known from all of the nations of the world. What does that mean? It's only you that I have known from all the nations of the world. So Rashi there in Amos says that yodati, I've known, means ohafti, I loved. I only love you from all the nations of the world. By the way, you know what the end of that pasuk is. The end of that pasuk says, and therefore, whenever you do something wrong, I react. That's what the pasuk says, right? Because love means interest. But he says, it's only you from all the nations of the world. You ohafti, you I love. And the term, right, when it says that Hashem, that Adam and Chava were together, it says, and Adam knew Chava. Vayed Adam as Chava. Right? In English, we have an expression, to know him is to love him. Right? That's that Rashi, right? Yodati equals ahafti. However, the Ramchal translates it simply that to love means to know. What does that mean? That it says, Rakeschem Yodati is, it is only with you that I concern myself to know and to be aware and to be on top of everything which is going on with you. That is an expression of Ava, and an expression of the unique connection which Hashem establishes with the Jewish people. Says the Ramchal, however, important caveat, and Amram lemipnezeh teoder chas v'sholom yidiyosa yisparach bifrateim ki hakol tzofui v'goli lufonav yisparach me'olam. Says, one second. Hashem doesn't know what's happening with them? Of course Hashem knows what's happening with them. One of the greatest beliefs, and the Rambam wrote about this extensively, and in this, the Ramchal was a student of the Rambam, is that the knowledge of Hashem necessarily encompasses everything. Hashem knows everything, everything. However, there's a knowledge which is acted upon, and there's a knowledge which is sort of just a passive knowledge. Right? You can see things happen as a spectator, and you can see things happen as a concerned, involved manager, parent, etc. And when we speak about the idea, the knowledge of Hashem here, it's the knowledge of one who would be ready to act and to intervene. That's what this speaks about. And so he says, "She'eino mashgiach u'mashpil frateim." His concern is not going to be with the details elsewhere, but with the Bnei Yisrael, with the Jewish people. Continues the Ramchal. But afal pishen HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashgiach la'umas bifrateim, kfar efshar shiyashgiach b'hem l'tzarech yochidei rabbi miYisrael. He says, now of course, Hashem doesn't give up the ability or the right. And you know, if India and Pakistan are struggling, they're having a fight, that can have global impact, and it can have impact on the Bnei Yisrael. So of course, to the extent that it affects what Hashem is interested in, He will step in. He will get involved. Just like our CEO will get involved, our owner of the big company will get involved in details when they affect the whole picture, or when they affect that which is dear to him or specific to him. Hashem can do the same. Hashem will do the same. But fundamentally, Hashgacha, that involvement, is specific to the Bnei Yisrael, to the Jewish people. And fundamentally, that level of involvement is specifically within Eretz Yisrael. There's some kind of a nexus of these two considerations of the nation and the place. How exactly that shakes out, I don't really understand. I don't understand exactly how we put together these two things, but clearly they do have an impact. The Ramban goes on. It's a very lengthy discussion in the Ramban. But one of the things which he goes on to explain is a shocking statement which is found in the Gemara. The Gemara says that Kol Hador be'Eretz Yisrael, anybody who lives in Eretz Yisrael, is Kemishu Yeshlo Eloka. It's like he has a God. I'm translating it that way. And somebody who doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael is Kemishu Ein Lo Eloka. It's like he doesn't have one. What does that mean? So the Ramban explains it in these terms, meaning that in Eretz Yisrael, the level of direct divine interest is complete. And so when one is in Eretz Yisrael, one is availing themselves of having that direct, ongoing, quote-unquote, personal involvement of Hashem in their hashgacha to the nth degree. In Chutz La'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, so Hashem has established these systems where He lets other things be taken care of. Now, why I say I don't understand is because, but on the other hand, we know that the Jewish people have uniquely the Hashgachas Hashem. But it's some combination. So that, when we get to this verse, and we're talking about the nations of the world in Eretz Yisrael, the nations of the world in Eretz Yisrael end up with these terrible problems that they wouldn't have had anyplace else. They're involved, as the Parsha describes, in this immorality, and the land spits them out. Why? Because they're in the place which Hashem concerns Himself with. That's called for them being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Right? Now, the Jewish people, if they're who knows where in Timbuktu, it's not like Hashem says, okay, forget it, I'm not paying attention to them, it's general. But on the other hand, we're in a land where things just happen. So to some degree, the level of intimate hashgacha of divine providence is different. I don't know how to measure it. The place and the people come together when Klal Yisrael are shruyim al admosam, when the Jewish people are in their land, then there are no distractions. Then it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement directly, completely, in everything, every step of the way. That's, in short, so to speak, the way the Ramban describes it. So we learn here about such a thing, of a hashgacha, of a divine providence that concerns itself with every detail, but only, so to speak, where invested. Where it is invested. And not because of a lack of resources, but because of, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, was going to be the focus of His world. Yaakov Chevel Nachlasai. So now, we go to revisit Shema Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What is that declaration? When we say Yisrael, I want you to listen, Hashem is Elokeinu. So of course, one way to say that is, a simple reading of the Rashi, we are the ones who recognize Hashem. Hashem is our God. If you ask the Jews, who do they worship? We worship Hashem. You ask others who they worship, they don't. So Hashem is Elokeinu. We cheer Hashem. Give me a yud. You know, whatever. You know, we're the ones who are worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now here in this time. But the Ramban has explained to us a different meaning of Elokeinu. Elokeinu is our Lord, one who's involved with us, the one who concerns Himself with everything. And when we say Hashem Elokeinu, therefore, it's not just simply we're saying Hashem is the one that we acknowledge, but Hashem is the defining force in the life of the Jewish people. Hashem Elokeinu. And then what do we mean when we say Hashem Echad? So Rashi gave us one possibility, which was that Hashem Echad means that in the future, not yet, but in the future, Bayom Ahu Yiyah Hashem Echad, in the future, everyone will be with Hashem as their Elohim. In other words, that in that time of the revelation of Hashem, so all the nations that will be able to be there, to stick around, to acknowledge Hashem, they will also be privileged to have this gift of the direct Hashgacha, the direct involvement of Hashem, if that's the translation of the verse. Not 100% clear, not 100% certain. But there's another meaning to Hashem Echad. And by the way, this second meaning of Hashem Echad is the one which, when one looks at the Shulchan Aruch associated commentaries, they tell us to think about this. And that is that when we say Hashem Echad, we're saying Hashem is the one and only power and force that truly exists in the world. That everything else, all those ministering angels, all those signs in the sky that may make the world turn and make a difference, all those laws of nature, all the cause and effect and geopolitics and everything else, they're all just working with the strength that Hashem has given them, that Hashem sustains them with. Hashem Echad. Hashem is the one and only source of power that exists in the world. But that doesn't mean that He didn't delegate powers to others. Right? He can give the owner of that store check writing abilities. But at any time He can call the bank and say, sorry, no longer. Right? Change the codes. He can't do it anymore. So Hashem Echad, Hashem is the power behind everything. He is, as the Ramban writes over here, borrowing from the language of the Pasuk, He's the Elokeo Elokim, Vadoneo Adonim. He is the God of behind all of the other forces. But when it comes to the Jewish people, there are no other forces. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem is directly involved with us. Hashem Echad, where Hashem is the power, the source of power for everything in the world, but with us, He is immediately involved. With others, He's the one above their, the one who concerns Himself with them. With us, there's nothing in between. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's a way, I think, of a very basic mainstream way to read the Pasuk of Shema. Now, parenthetically, of course, you go on and we read the second paragraph of Shema, is Vayoyim Shema Tishmuel Mitzvosai. What's that paragraph about? Yes, it's about keeping the mitzvahs, but it's also about the reward and punishment associated with the mitzvahs, right? Rain or drought, but even more so, it's about rewards associated with Eretz Yisrael, right? You'll be there. I'm going to bring the rain. The rain is an expression of Hashem's direct involvement, comes from the heavens to the earth, as we've discussed before. So that's all part, as we present this, as we say Shema Yisrael, as we say V'hoyim Shema Tishmu, we're painting a picture of Hashem's very specific involvement with the Ama Nifchar, with the Jewish people, and in the deepest sense, Be'eretz HaNifcheres, in the chosen place. The chosen people in the chosen place. But now, what's about the Pasuk? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. How do you say that? With what emotion is that verse said? That's Be'ava. That's the idea that when we say Shema with Ava, with love. Why? Because what makes it that Hashem should be Elokeinu? What makes it that Hashem should concern Himself with us, whereas everything else He delegates to intermediaries?
Why is it? Right? Again, it's in general not lack of capacity, but even if it was, heaven forbid, so why did he say, okay, so all the rest I'll delegate, but this I'm going to take care of? And we know again that it's more than that. It's not lack of capacity at all. The choice of dealing specifically with the Jewish people is because because it's only you that I knew that I loved from all the nations of the world. It's because you are, as Ramban says, Zera Oyhavav, the descendants of the ones who Hashem loved and who loved Hashem. The idea that we declare of Hashem Elokeinu, of Hashem's direct involvement with the Jewish people, is a statement of the Ava, of the love, of the concern which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for the Bnei Yisrael. Otherwise, could have cast us all the same systems. Tamayim Ava,
Shema Imrim, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We'll pause for a minute for questions or comments.
1 minute only.
Yeah. Discretion, concern. You know, if I give over, if I delegate the power over something, so then I say, you know, it doesn't make really so much a difference to me where the racks are in the store, where the racks aren't in the store. It doesn't make so much of a difference to me, you know, how much this person is going to be paid, how much this person isn't going to be paid. I leave that up to you. You can decide. You're only doing it because I've empowered you to do it. But I'm telling you, you do it. You decide. It's not going to be my decision. It's not my concern. Even though all the power comes ultimately from Hashem, but Hashem is saying, I have the power, but I'm not exercising it for these details. They don't concern me. Malachim don't have power beyond what HaKadosh Baruch Hu assigned them that power. They don't have power beyond what Hashem assigned them. We will never direct a request in that sense towards a malach, because when it comes to the Bnei Yisrael, am kirovo, the malach has absolutely no play or no sway whatsoever. You know, the Ramban, when he follows through on this, and again, the Ramban is not alone, the Ramban's opinion is that it is not inappropriate for the Umos HaOlam, if they recognize that there is an almighty God that gives power to everything, it is not inappropriate for them to offer their prayers or pleas to the angel that's in charge of them or to the star that's in charge of them. That's the famous notion, might be known to some, I shouldn't say famous, but it's a halachically known notion of shituf. Shituf means with a tough. Shituf means partnership. There's such a thing called idol worship, where one just believes that this sun or the moon or this idol, this statue, is the master of the world. And that's one of the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, one of the seven Noachide laws, that nobody's allowed to believe that, nobody's allowed to act that way. But what about if somebody believes that there's a God above everything else, but yet he has shared of his power with something else? They believe in God, but they say, but God put my fate in the hands of the sun or this star, and therefore I'm going to direct myself to the one who's in charge of me. For a Jew, that's Avodah Zarah. For a Jew, that's the same thing as idol worship. For a non-Jew, it may not be at all. It may be permitted, it may be appropriate. When the Pasuk says, Asher cholach Hashem Elokecha osam l'chol ha'amim, that's what the Ramban says, because their fate is in the hands. The Malach is given discretion regarding them. Go ahead, let them ask the Malach. As long as they realize that there's a God above the Malach. If they forget that there's a God above the Malach, then forget about it. Which is why some hold that by the same token, Christianity is not tantamount to Avodah Zarah for the Goyim. For the Jews, for sure it is, But for them, maybe not, because they believe in a Trinity. They believe in a God above everything else. Plus, a question would be, but, you know, it's one thing if it's to a force which Hashem actually created in the world. It's another thing if it's to a fiction. Right? So there, it's not simple that it's included, but that's where that comes from. So for the nations of the world, they may have discretion, and they may have the ability to decide. And therefore, they may even appropriately, so to speak, offer devotion or worship towards them. But for a Jew, forget about it. Nobody else has any sway, nobody else has any power except the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And therefore, it's avodah zarah for us to pray or to turn to anything else.
Rabbi, I'm trying to, failing miserably, to connect this to the land of Israel and the fact that we haven't been there for 2,000 years. Is this, surely it didn't expel us.
The land did expel us. It did expel us. Sure it did. It did expel us. And, it did. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns us, right? To be careful, so that it won't spit you out like it spit out the nations which come before you. This is the language which we're going to read in both of this week's parshios. That's the language of the Torah. You have to be careful because that is the way the land reacts. And the golus is what's the expression that we use for golus? Where Hashem is master panav, where Hashem turns his face away. What does that mean? It means he acts disinterested. Now, is that actual disinterest? So, no, we're told it's not actual disinterest. But he acts disinterested. He acts disinterested towards what's happening with the B'nai Yisrael. Because, yes, it requires the two together, Eretz Yisrael, Am Yisrael, to have the full level visible, direct involvement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, concern with us with every step of the way. This is the idea I wanted to share. It's you know, emunah as a philosophical belief in terms of God being master of the world goes only so far. It goes only so far. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is our ultimate declaration of emunah, was not said be'emunah alone. It was said be'ava. It was said be'ava. It was said with the recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is invested in Klal Yisrael. He's interested. He sees us as being the center of his world. He had time for everything, but he only concerned himself with us. He could have concerned himself with nothing down here on this world, but he concerns himself with us. Attain ponai, pona ani mikol asakai. Turn away from everything to focus in on the Bnei Yisrael. That's big. That's huge. That's a recognition which should make the Jewish people and Jewish people stand taller, be more aware. That's what the Mishnah means in Pirkei Avos. In Pirkei Avos, when it says histakil Bishloisha dvarim, right? Look at three things. Ve'ena taboli de'avera. Da malam alam imcha. Know what's above you. Ayin raya, an eye that watches. Oizen shemas, an ear that hears. V'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim. And everything that you do is written down. What does that mean? It means that somebody cares about what you do. It makes a difference. It matters. Somebody's watching. You know, I went once tease the people here on Yom Tov. It's perfect for the beginning of the baseball season. I said, you know, like, imagine if in the front of the shul we had a jumbotron. You know what a jumbotron is? If you go to a stadium, they have a huge, huge screen. It's probably as big as the whole front of the shul. It just doesn't look that way from how far away it is. They have this jumbotron. And sometimes it's just as a chves, you know, the statistics, the numbers. But, you know, in today's day and age, they have these people with video cameras all over the place. And very often they focus in on the crowd, you know, like in between. It's sort of like an alternative form of entertainment to watching the game on the field, is watching what they're showing on the screen. And, you know, in the middle of some play that's so, then there's going to be somebody sitting there, and they're just like sitting there like that, and the camera focuses in on them, and suddenly their neighbor says to them, "Shh, look, look, you're on the camera." And they look, and suddenly they're going, "Hey!" Well, the whole being is transformed because somebody's watching them. The whole world is watching them. What's going on? So I was thinking, imagine, you know, like, we're sitting here in shul and we say, okay, like, imagine if we had like a jumbotron in the front of the shul and like zeroed in on somebody and said, "Oh, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad." Maybe we'd have one focused on the front steps to see what time people are coming to shul. Imagine what it would be. So is it just, you know, like self-consciousness or anything else? It's not just self-consciousness. It's not just, you know, embarrassment. It's like, who cares? Like, is what I'm doing making a difference? You know, you're on candid camera. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Roya, Shemeya. And he's not just watching now, but everything's written down means everything has an impact. Everything matters. Only those who say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu are able to say that. And that's transformative. It's transformative in Avas Hashem, because somebody who's so concerned about everything you do, you don't just believe in, but it's something more, and it's transformative for your attitude towards yourself. Your attitude towards yourself. It's clear that it is, but I can't tell you to what point. I can't. There's still Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem still does not delegate completely, but there's some mix that, again, I don't know how the formula cracks up. There's some mix that says that since you're in a land where there's others, so then there's some interference in that. There's some limitation on that. It's not the same. It's not the same. In Eretz Yisrael, it's all pistons firing, so to speak. You know, everything is going, all the involvement of Hashem, nothing else. Nothing else at all. Okay, something to bear in mind, I think, for us as we go day to day. Thank you very much.